Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Donald Perkins continues to help us understand the Book of Revelation, and Greg Patton will stop in with some encouragement. Friends, we continue to need your help. Historically, summertime giving is always slow, but this year, giving has been at a critical level. Thank you to everyone who's been responding with gifts for the ministry. Unfortunately, we're having to further cut expenses, including reducing the number of staff and the number of radio stations we're on. We need your help. Would you please continue to pray for Southwest Radio Ministries? Ask the Lord to provide the needed funds so that we can continue to proclaim the good news. And as you're led, would you consider giving a gift to our summer relief effort? Your one-time and monthly gifts are needed. You can give when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also give at our website, swrc.com. Thank you, my friends, for your prayers and continued financial support. Now, here is today's teacher, Donald Perkins.
We're going to look here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse number 14. The writer of Hebrews wrote this, talking about Jesus, says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Revelation 1:5 said that Jesus is the one who washed us by his own blood. Jesus washed us from our sins. We are cleansed today. If you're born again, if you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's washed you from all of your sins. This is what the book of Revelation is telling us about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we're going to continue in chapter 1, and we're going to move on to verse number 6 as we're looking at the revelation of Jesus. Here in verse 6, it says, he, talking about Jesus, who made us kings and priests unto God. You know, because what Christ has done by him saving us, he's made us a kingdom of priests, the Bible says. He's made us kings and priests. Kings mean we're going to rule. Priests mean we're going to serve. Now, I want to give you a verse here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. Look what it says about us being priests. The scripture says here in verse 5, it says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." See, to understand this, you must understand the Old Testament ministry of the priests. They were the ones that offered sacrifices to God on behalf of Israel. Well, today, as a holy priesthood, we offer up spiritual sacrifices, our praises to God. Our prayers are offered up as spiritual sacrifices. But the Bible says we are a holy priesthood. You know, it was always God's will, the Bible said, to have a kingdom of priests. And because of what Christ has done, now we are a priestly family of Christ. I want to look down, same chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Listen to what it says. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I love this. Because of Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are a kingdom of priests. Verse 9 of chapter 2 of Peter said, 1 Peter says, we are a royal priesthood. Verse 5 said, we are a holy priesthood. Because what Christ has done for us, we are a priestly family. Now, again, to understand that this was always the will of God, and what I want to do here, I want to take you back to the book of Exodus, chapter 19, and I want to read a verse to you in regards to the kingdom of priests. This was always the will of God. Verse 19 of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 6, it says this, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. You know, it was always God's will to have a kingdom of priests. He wanted all of us to be able to worship him and honor him. Now, we know back in the Old Testament, there were certain families that were part of the Israelis that were exclusive as the priestly family. Everybody could not be a kingdom of priests at that time, but it was always God's will for that to happen. Because what Christ has done, all of us today have become that royal priesthood. We can pray and God will, he will accept our prayers and our sacrifices. I want to give you one more verse here found in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse number 10. Look what it says, talking about Jesus, and have made us unto our God, listen at this, kings and priests, and we shall reign with him. So we are a kingdom of priests. But also, he said, he's made us kings and we shall reign. I believe this gives reference to when we reign during the time of the millennial kingdom. And again, it's going to be so exciting. The Bible said that we're going to reign with him. We will be in positions to rule and reign with Christ. Now, we do have the ability by God's grace to take authority in the earth. The Bible says that God have given us power over all the power of the enemy. We can rebuke the devil, the scripture says. So we do have authority here, but not like what we're going to have during the time of the millennial kingdom, where we will literally be in a position to help Christ govern the earth during the time of the millennium. Now, I want to continue in Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to move now to verse number 7, talking about Christ giving us a revelation of who he is. In verse 7, it literally talks about when Christ comes back in the second coming. It says, he who cometh with clouds. Now, we do know that when Christ come back in the second coming, he's coming back, the Bible tells us, as a man of war. But I want to give you an Old Testament passage here found in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Look what Daniel wrote. He says, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominions and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Here, Daniel is talking about the coming of Christ. When Jesus comes back in the second coming, we find this in Revelation, again, chapter 19, as he comes back as a man of war. He's coming back to take authority, but Revelation 1:7 says that he comes with clouds. Now, I mentioned in the beginning of this particular study that this particular verse has reference to the second coming and not the rapture. Now, we do know in the rapture, the Bible says we will meet him in the clouds, okay? The church will be caught up to meet him in the clouds. But this verse, Revelation 1:7, has reference to the second coming of Christ when Jesus comes back as a man of war. So I want to pick up here and I'll show you the text here, Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. John says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Here, when Jesus come back at this time, he's coming back as a man of war, and the Bible says that he's coming back with fire in his eyes, he's coming back with vengeance, he's coming back with the sword out of his mouth, and he's going to judge the armies of the Antichrist. He's coming back at this time, and again, it's going to be unbelievable. As a matter of fact, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says that when he come back, that those that see him, they shall mourn. In other words, they're going to weep at the coming of Christ. The reason why the world's going to weep at the coming of Christ at this time is because he's coming back to judge them. He's coming back to bring an end to the Antichrist kingdom, Antichrist rule, and he's coming back as a man of war. Let me give you another verse here. This is Matthew chapter 24, verse number 30. It says, and then, verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So when Christ comes back in the second coming, he's coming back as a man of war. Revelation 1:7 says that when he come, every eye shall see him, they that pierced him. And the Bible said that they shall wail and mourn at the coming of Christ because he's coming back as a judge. Now, again, we're still in the book of Revelation. We're in Revelation chapter 1. We're looking at the revelation of Christ. Chapter 1 is revealing to us Jesus Christ, the Savior. I mean, these eight verses is so loaded. It's action packed talking about Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, let's move on a little bit further. And we're going to look at verse number 8 in Revelation chapter 1. And here we're going to see Jesus Christ, who is eternal. He is eternal. He's the past. He's the present. He's the future. Again, I love this so much. I'm going to give you a passage here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse number 4. Listen to what it says. Who have wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. Here, this gives reference to Jesus. He's the first and the last, showing that he is eternal. He's the first. He's the last. He's the first. He's the present and he's the last. He is eternal. Jesus is eternal. Here's another one. Isaiah 44, verse number 6. Look what it says. Thus said the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first. I am the last. And besides me, there is no God. We're going to see in a little bit that Jesus is the Almighty. He's the first and the last. He's God. He's eternal. Jesus Christ is the first and the last. Look at this. I got another verse for you. Look at this one. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 17. This is when John begins to see Christ in his glorified form after Jesus spoke to him. Well, look at verse 17 of chapter 1, Revelation. John wrote, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. For I am the first and the last, showing that he is eternal. Jesus is the past, the present, and the future. He's eternal. He is God. We're going to see that in a few minutes. Also, here's another passage in Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 13. Jesus talking again. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, again, showing us that he is eternal. He's the eternal God. Jesus is. He's the first and the last. Got another one for you. Look at this. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 11, saying, Jesus talking, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou write is that what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. This was a command that Jesus gave to John as he was beginning to write the book of Revelation. But in him giving John this command to write the book of Revelation and send it to the churches, he said, I am the first and I am the last. I am Alpha and Omega. Alpha being the beginning and Omega being the last. He is eternal. Jesus is the Almighty. Jesus is God in the flesh. As Paul said in Timothy, 1 Timothy, without controversy, there's no argument about it. Whether people want to deny that or not, they can't deny it because it's no controversy. Jesus was God in the flesh, the Almighty. Give you another passage. Look at this. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 6. Look what Paul wrote in Philippians, talking about Jesus. It said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It's no robbery. Jesus is the God. He's part of the Godhead in full. He's the Godhead, the Bible says, bodily. Jesus Christ was God, and he is God. He is the Almighty. I love these passages. Now, again, we're still in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8 says that he who is the Almighty, he who is all powerful, he is God. Let me give you another verse here found in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse number 15, talking about Jesus being God, talking about Jesus being the Almighty. Look at verse 15, Colossians 1:15. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Scripture called him the image of the invisible God. When you see Jesus, you see God the Father, the Almighty. He's all powerful. He's omnipotent. Jesus is God. Here's another one. Look at this. This is 2 Corinthians. We're going to look here at chapter 4, verse number 4. Look what it says. In whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light, listen to this, of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The gospel of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Jesus is God Almighty. Jesus is Almighty. He's the all-powerful God. Now, I know some different cult groups try to put Jesus down or make him a lesser God. No, he was God. He is God in the flesh. He Almighty. So, you know, I love the book of Revelation because, again, it's revealing to us our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, again, this was just the first 8 verses of the book of Revelation. It reveals who Jesus is. Now, again, just to reiterate, we're still in the first part of the book of Revelation. John was commanded to write the things that he had seen. So we're still in the past tense part of the book of Revelation. We're going to look next at the glorified vision of Christ. And then from there, we're going to look at the things that are, or the present tense. We're going to move into chapter 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. But next, I want to move to the glorified vision of Jesus Christ. And again, we find this also in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. And what we're going to look and see here, we're going to see as Jesus is walking in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, we're going to see him wearing his garment, the garment down to his feet. He'll be girded about the chest with a golden girdle. His head and his hair was white like wool. He had eyes like a flame of fire. And also his feet, they burned as if they were fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. This was the glorified vision of Christ. So when John saw Jesus, he heard this voice, the Bible says, and this voice to John sounded like the voice of many waters. Jesus was talking to John. And the Bible said, when John turned to see the voice that was speaking to him, he saw Jesus in a different light. He saw Christ in his glorified form. Again, verses 12 through 14, John sees Jesus in his glorified form. He saw Jesus walking in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Now, the 7 golden candlesticks in Revelation chapter 1 talks about the 7 churches. And we're going to talk about that when we get to the church age. But each one of the churches that are identified, they are identified as one golden candlestick. And the Bible said John saw Jesus in his glorified form walking in the midst of the churches. Now, as he's walking in the midst of the 7 candlesticks or in the churches, he is observing things that he sees in the church. John also said that he's clothed, you know, with a garment. This is a priestly garment that he's wearing. John see his head and his hair white like wool. He literally sees the purity of Christ, the righteousness and the glory of Christ here. Jesus is appearing to John in a glorified form. John also sees Jesus, his eyes like a flame of fire, as if they are burning. He also sees his feet as if they are burning in fine brass. I mean, this is an amazing passage that John is writing, talking about the glorified vision. In verses 15 through 18, John said that his voice sounded like the voice of many waters. The scripture also says this glorified vision that Jesus has in his right hand, the 7 stars. Now, the 7 stars are the 7 angels, are the 7 pastors of the church. You know something? The 7 stars are in his hand. The pastors are in the hand of Jesus. This is so powerful. We're going to see that as we go forward. John also says that out of his mouth, he saw a two-edged sword that went out of his mouth. The word, he spoke the word in his glorified form. John saw something that was so amazing. Here also in the glorified vision, Jesus said he was the one that liveth and was dead, but now he lives forever and ever. This is, again, verses 15 through 18. John is seeing Christ in his glorified form. And we know that this is Jesus, who the one that was crucified, but he was dead, but now he liveth and he liveth forever. Again, the Bible said he's the first begotten. Remember that? He will live forever and ever, never, ever to die again. John is seeing Christ in an amazing capacity. Also, John sees Jesus here having the keys of death and hell. He's taken full authority over the power of death and of hell. Because what Christ has done, mankind can be redeemed from death and also from hell. Again, I'm so grateful for what Christ has done.
Over the coming weeks, we'll have Donald Perkins back on Watchman on the Wall to continue his series, Understanding the Book of Revelation. To enhance and grow your understanding of Revelation, we have several resources for you today. First, the book No Uncertain Future, a study guide commentary of Revelation by Dr. Larry Spargimino, the DVD Revealing Revelation by J.R. Church, and Noah Hutchings' classic book Revelation for Today. All three of these resources are available when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order these books and DVD at our website, swrc.com. No Uncertain Future, Revealing Revelation, and Revelation for Today. 1-800-652-1144. Greg Patton, author of Invisible War on the Saints, will be speaking at our upcoming Prophecy in the News live event in New Prague, Minnesota on August 16th and 17th. Today, Greg is here with some encouragement for living in today's world.
So God's laid on my heart to talk just a brief time about kids today. Sharon and I, after much prayer, right after we were saved, decided we wanted a big family. I said seven. We settled on six, and God gave us six. Three boys first, and then those three girls. I've shared, I think, in the past that we named all the girls' middle names Joy. We just believed they were going to bring a bunch of joy into our lives. Well, we have dreams of young parents, don't we? How it's going to be, and, oh, I knew all of my kids were going to serve Jesus fervently in the days ahead. Now, I've been saved 50 years. I've been in the same church going on the 37th year. I marvel at parents. Some have kids that just seem to be perfect spiritually. Others, the whole family seems to go the other direction. I wonder how many Christian parents listening to this program today would say, yep, sounds like my kids or my kid. That's what's happened. And you can get really discouraged by all of that. Sometimes you just say, why did we ever have children in the first place? It's not worked out well at all. Well, the devil can get to you, and my encouragement to you would be, don't let that happen, my friend. Wanted to share about my son, Jeremy. Talked about him many times, often in the negative. Dedicated him at the same building that we are in now at the Cross. It was many years ago. Place was called Winchester Road Baptist Church. Sharon and I lived just down the street. When he was born, our firstborn, we dedicated him when he was just 2 days old. My prayer was he would become a preacher, an evangelist like his dad. Oh, all kinds of possibilities lay before us. When they're babies, it's so fun to dream of the potential. Somewhere that all went haywire as soon as he became a teenager. All kinds of things. He got into trouble and stealing and simple stuff like a pill out of an aspirin container down here at the pharmacy. What was that all about? Well, it got worse, my friend. 8 times in prison for this boy. The last time that we talked, he used to call me, cost me $15 for that short phone call, and he'd preach to me every time he was in prison. he'd call me and preach to me. You can imagine my frustration. I'm paying for this. I just wanted to find out a little about where he was coming from, but he'd get very spiritual. Then he'd get out of prison and last about 2 weeks. Reminds me of that man and actually assistant pastor of Maranatha Baptist Church in Vallarta, Puerto Rico, said, only one problem with messages like you delivered this week, Brother Patton. Gonna take this church 30 days to get back to normal. You get jailhouse religion, lots do, and then they get out and doesn't take long to go back to the old ways. What is real anymore? That's what I kept asking my son in one of our last phone calls. He was in prison up in Michigan, and I said, I'm done. Half of your life is over, son. And we have done this and done this and done this. I'm done. I'll pray for you. When you decide to get right, get back in touch. You know what happened there? He got right. That was the last time. Something registered finally. Why am I saying all that? I'm giving you hope, my friend. You have a child, grandchild, some of you older, maybe a great-grandchild in trouble. You never know what God's going to do. He can do, I think, miracles. How about you? This week is the Three Rivers Festival, biggest event of the year here in Fort Wayne. All kinds of activities going on. And over the weekend, Jeremy, this troubled child that got it straight, witnessed, gave the gospel to over 100 people on Saturday and Sunday. You just never know. I pray these thoughts have been an encouragement to you, my friend. God is working, and not in our time frame. He has a plan. You just be obedient. He's in control. You follow him every step of the way, my friend. I'll close with this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. God bless.
Donald Perkins' series, Understanding the Book of Revelation, is now available. This 24-DVD set contains all 71 lessons, going verse by verse, studying the Book of Revelation. Order Understanding the Book of Revelation by Donald Perkins when you call 1-800-652-1144. This study is an excellent resource for churches, Sunday school classes, small group studies, and homeschool Bible classes. 71 lessons on 24 DVDs. Understanding the Book of Revelation. 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at swrc.com. Friends, we're so glad you're here today. If you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. Inside, you'll find the latest issue of our Prophetic Observer newsletter and a special gift. Request your free new listener pack when you call 1-800-652-1144. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. Head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners just like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.